I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. Michelle Wolf was an equal opportunity offender when she spoke at the White House Correspondents Association dinner on Saturday night, including taking aim at journalists.
You guys are obsessed with Trump. Did you used to date him? Because you pretend like you hate him, but I think you love him. I think what no one in this room wants to admit is that Trump has helped all of you. He couldn't sell steaks or vodka or water or college or ties or Eric. But he has helped you. He's helped you sell your papers and your books and your TV. You helped create this monster, and now you're profiting off of him.
This is not the first time the comedian at the annual dinner has gotten into hot water for offending someone, but this time critics are saying it's time to rethink the whole thing. Michelle Wolf is on Fresh Air today and told Terry Gross that she would not change a single word.
Were you expecting this level of controversy?
I wasn't expecting this level, but I'm also not, I'm not disappointed there's this level. I knew what I was doing going in. I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to cater to the room. I wanted to cater to the outside audience and not betray my brand of comedy. And I actually, my friend of mine who helped me write, he gave me a note before I went on, which I kept with me, which was, be true to yourself, never apologize, burn it to the ground.
You can hear the full interview this afternoon at 3 on WHYY. We asked the Washington Post's Dana Milbank to join us. He writes today that this past weekend, D.C. journalists rubbed shoulders with celebrities and politicians on Saturday night. 9 journalists were killed in Kabul on Sunday night. Dana Milbank is op-ed columnist for the Washington Post, and nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
It's great to be with you again.
You have boycotted this dinner for, what, the last 15 years? Why?
Yeah, give or take. Well, I mean, it's not really because of the entertainment. I just it's sort of a spectacle that I think is unseemly. What it shows the rest of the country, I think journalists are essentially acting as pimps to introduce their political sources to celebrities and go to parties as if they're Hollywood personalities. I don't think it's the right image, and it doesn't. In the times I've gone, it's not really a whole lot of fun to participate in that either.
Well, then you agree with Dave, who wrote on our Facebook page, step one, stop inviting and drinking and dining with the politicians whose feet you should be holding to the fire. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a little bit different now in the Trump era, since the administration and the media do not have a whole lot of love lost. So it's not as if we're cozying up to them at these dinners, but that has been a problem throughout it. I think the best press is an adversarial press that's scrappier and is not putting on black tie and broadcasting the thing to the whole country.
Do you think Michelle Wolf was right when she said, I played that clip, that basically the press has been dating Donald Trump for a couple of years now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, particularly in the sense that the press created Trump. You know, he played the media brilliantly in terms of social media, but also, his uninterrupted call-ins to cable news and the way TV played his rallies beginning to end, and, really built him up and created him. And it is true that he has made a lot of money for a lot of media organizations. Now, newspapers are still in a lot of trouble, but the broadcast outlets, cable news, have done brilliantly, and we've all done well in terms of more readership, viewers, listeners. So he has undeniably been very good for the business. Now, I'm not speaking from a business perspective, but I'd much prefer to have, sort of a normal, calm government and be able to write about boring subcommittee hearings and, actually have a functioning government. I would take that trade-off.
Margaret Tolliver, who's head of the White House Correspondents Association and has been a guest on Radio Times, said the entertainer's monologue was not in the spirit of the White House Correspondents Association. But I thought it was interesting that both Seth Meyers and Trevor Noah, who have worked with Michelle Wolf, had some pretty stinging comebacks. Seth Meyers said she's filthy and she is mean. That is what we love about her, because those are wonderful qualities for comedians and terrible qualities for world leaders. Trevor Noah said, I completely agree with President Trump and his team. Comedians should be held to a higher standard than he is. Seth Meyers goes on to say, you hired her. It seems that people are beating up on Michelle Wolf, but if you knew her comedy, you knew what you were going to get, it seems.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't have a particular problem with the routine. My issue is more, why are we doing this sort of thing in general? Why are we having comics or musicians or any other kind of performers here, and not, you know, talking about serious matters of, what's happening to journalism around the world? But, we seem to have this every couple of years or so, even when Stephen Colbert came a decade ago and roasted Bush, I think, in more gentler terms than we saw yesterday or Saturday. There was a controversy then as well, whether that had gone out of bounds. I think, basically, comedians reflect the culture that we're in, and the culture, in large part because of Donald Trump, has become more coarse and ugly. So I think that her routine reflects that more than anything else. That's the way discourse is right now. So I certainly don't scold the Correspondents Association for what they've done. It seems like it's a different time, and it's time to rethink what our role is as journalists.
Let me read an email from Karen. I did not find her routine offensive. After all, she's joking. Trump is way more offensive, crude, wicked, and bullying. Is this the time we're living in? In that we have a president who certainly made fun of Ted Cruz's wife's appearance?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and many, many more vulgar things than that. I mean, it's a chicken and egg question. I mean, the president, didn't create this environment. This was the coarsening. It long predates him. He took advantage of it. He made it worse. It's happening. I noticed that, words are in my columns now, often words that came right out of the president's mouth that we wouldn't have imagined printing just a couple of years ago. And I think that's not just true at the Washington Post. I just think that the entire debate, the language that is used, the harshness, it infects everybody. And that's, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives. And I think that's a huge problem. The fact that it comes out in a comedian's monologue at a dinner, I don't think is particularly surprising, nor is the comedian's monologue the problem or the source of the problem. It's a reflection of the culture.
Do you think the fact that she's a woman, not that there haven't been other comedians that have gotten at least in temporary hot water, but now everyone is thinking, oh, no, we must rethink this whole thing because you've got a woman who's offending a lot of people?
Maybe. I don't, it's hard to say. I mean, I do know that Colbert got a lot of grief a decade ago. So, it's hard from where I sit to know, how different that would be if she were a man. There is some sort of criticism of this dinner, and I think it's by and large well deserved. If it's not the comedian's routine, it's the after parties and all the glitzy spending by media companies to woo celebrities. It just strikes me, just get rid of the darn thing. Have a dinner and read out the names of journalists who died doing their jobs over the last year, or some of the 262 journalists around the world who are now in prison. I mean, that's the stuff that matters. And you know what? Maybe C-SPAN's not going to cover it, and the world's not going to care. But that it's still our job to let people know this sort of thing is going on.
Well, that's why I was really struck and appreciated the point that you made in your piece today, which is just essentially juxtaposing what happened in Washington and what happened in Kabul within 24 hours.
Yeah, that was a particularly horrendous yesterday. 9 journalists targeted as journalists in the second bombing by a guy who posed with a camera and a phony press pass. And then later in the day, yet another journalist, 10 yesterday in Afghanistan. I think that brought to 24 or so the number of journalists killed already so far this year. And there were 60-something last year. But, you know, beyond just those deaths, it's, you know, there's been this worldwide crackdown on the media, inspired in no small part by our own presidents, you know, condoning of dictators, of going on about the fake news. Lots of countries are now adopting fake news laws and cracking down on journalists, you know, taking a page from our president. These are really serious things going on. Obviously, we don't have that kind of problem here at home, but we do have more subpoenas flying, sources being charged under the Espionage Act for leaking, journalists being arrested, being attacked, and this is something I think we need to draw attention to.
That also happened under President Obama.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, as I said earlier, this is a, you know, Trump has, I think, in many ways worsened the culture, but he didn't create this. And I, you know, during the Bush years and then in the Obama years, Obama first started this notion of using this 1917 Espionage Act to go after journalist sources. It set a terrible precedent, and you know, lo and behold, we have it being used more aggressively by a president who calls the press the enemy of the American people. So, you know, these precedents were put in place by previous administrations, Democratic and Republican, and now we should not be surprised they're being, you know, pushed to new boundaries.
What do you make of those daily press briefings that come out of the White House by largely Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Well, I'll tell you, Marty, I'm worried I've not been going to so many of them. They're going to actually take my press pass away. I do try to go, you know, to write about it every now and then. I went more when it was Sean Spicer just because it was more entertaining. So you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is sort of quite deft at not making news and not particularly embarrassing herself. But it's not a productive journalistic spectacle. I think media organizations still go because they, you know, they think that's an important tradition, and they want to uphold that. And there is still some, you know, at least for the TV correspondents, there is some advantage to, you know, having that clip of you holding the press secretary's feet to the fire. So it's an important ritual to keep up, even if it's not a particularly productive one these days.
Why keep it up, though?
Well, because if you abolish the daily press briefing, you abolish the gaggle. You know, there was talk earlier in the administration of getting rid of, you know, moving the press off of the, you know, the out of the White House altogether. It can be a slippery slope. So I think it's better to hold on to whatever semblance of contact and, you know, openness there is with this administration or any administration, because once that thing is taken away, it rarely comes back. I mean, you know, when, it wasn't that long ago when I and other White House reporters would, you know, hang out in the press secretary's office and just informally ask questions. It was only a couple of decades before that when a similar group of White House correspondents would be in the Oval Office just chewing the fat with the President of the United States. So there's sort of a steady move, and before you know it, the press is going to be, you know, out on the other side of Lafayette Park looking at the White House with binoculars.
Dana Milbag, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
You're welcome. And he's op-ed columnist for The Washington Post. After this very short break, teenagers and vaping. We'll be right back.